Genesis chapter 22. If you're able to stand, we invite you to stand out of respect for God's word. Genesis chapter 22. Be reading here. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and laid it upon the Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took his knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou any thing unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seest thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham out of heaven the second time. And he said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, thou hast not withheld thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and the sand which is upon the seashore, and the seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Father in heaven, Lord, we do tonight want to stop again and to ask you for your help this evening. Father, I pray as these young men to pray, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, speak to my heart. Father, accomplish your will in our life. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You can have a seat down at the mission. They've been asking some questions. So I think I'm going to start a series at the vacation. I'm going to go through the Old Testament to see some stories and some things there. And because I think it's important for them to learn these stories, and I think it's good for us to be reminded of the stories as well. Just here in Genesis, the first thing we see here in our passage here is a loving father. Can you pass through these things that God did tempt Abraham, said to him, Abraham, behold, here am I. He said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. So we see here that we have a father that loves his son. Now tonight I'm gonna give our teen boys the night off. So I'm going to show you a picture here. Is Alex and picture Alex standing there, and Alex picture of a loving father. Same things by son. Look at Genesis 17:19. We see that he's loving father because it's a son of promise. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 19. Genesis 17:19. We see that he's a father. We see here that we're sure that he loves his father because the Lord says that he didn't also because he's a son of his promise. Genesis chapter 17 and then verse 19. And God said to Sarah, thy wife shall be. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him, an everlasting covenant with the seed after him. So we have here now, number one, we have a loving father. We're going to see here that the story a little bit that that picture is our heavenly father. But we see here a loving father. But this time, it said that he was about 117 years of age at this time. Now, think back if you would over to Genesis chapter 11 when he came out of the Chaldees, he made some mistakes. But he learned and he grew and he learned and grew. And then now he's over here in chapter 22. He's grown to the next point for him to take a step of faith. So we see number one, we have a loving father. Then back to Genesis chapter 22, we see we have a good son, and we're gonna have Coy. So here is Alex. He's our loving father, and here's Coy. He's our good son. We see that Isaac was a good son. We see in chapter 22 and in verse 6 that he was a worker. And Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac, his son. So we see that he's a worker. Isaac was saved because verse 7, he understood the importance of the blood sacrifice. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, said, My father. He said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? So we see that he knew the importance of a blood sacrifice. So far we have a good father. We have a good son. And then that's going down to the next thing. We have a substitute provided. If you look at verse 11, 22:11, and the angel of the Lord came unto him. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here am I. He said, Lay not the hand upon the lead, neither do anything unto him, for now I know thou fearest God. I'm too far ahead. Let me back up. Verse 8, and Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Then verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here am I. He said, Lay not the hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know thou fearest God, seeing as thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket. So we have here, we have a loving father. We have a good son. And over here on the other side is Sam. He's our ram caught in a thicket. It's a sacrifice. Back to Genesis chapter 22 again, and back verse 9. It talks about, I back up. I got the wrong verse. Where he promised him, verse 8, Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a ram for a burnt offering. So they went together. So we see here we have a loving father, a good son, and now we have a substitute. And the loving father takes his good son up to Mount Moriah. They get there, and the good son is willing to lay down upon the altar. This time it's to say that Abraham was about 117 years of age. Abraham probably could not have forced his young son there on the altar. But the young son obeyed his father and laid himself down there on the altar. And just as he was getting to slay his young son, he looked over and there's a ram caught in a thicket. It was a substitute. Now we saw him in verse 8 that Abraham said God would provide a lamb, but here is a ram or illustration of something that was yet to come. So as the father takes up the knife to slay his son, he looks over and he sees that ram, that ram, and God takes all over his hand. He stops his hand. He looks over and he sees the ram. And imagine Isaac as he gets off the altar, how thankful he was for that ram. Yeah. I mean, Isaac. In my, I almost picture Isaac going over and picking up the ram for his dad. And as he went back, he probably hugged it and cried and said thank you. And he laid it there on the altar, and Abraham offered there that day. That ram was a picture of what one day would come. Because when Isaac asked the father where the lamb was, the question wouldn't answer. Look over to John 1:29. John 1:29. John 1:29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming to him and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now look over Galatians 4:4, if you would, please, real quick. Book of Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Galatians 4:4. See, that ram just didn't happen to appear. The Lord had that ram at the right place at the right time. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You know, I'm thankful that a day for that ram, but I'm more than thankful this evening for what that ram typified, and that was our Lord and Savior. Now we have a loving Father, a good Son, a substitute provided. And now the last thing, we're going to look at three first mentions here in our text. Then we're going to tie it all together. Book of Genesis, chapter 22 again. Just bear with me for a little bit. I'm so lonesome up here without Alex and Coy and Sam. Book of Genesis, chapter 22, three first mentions here, and then we're going to tie it all together. Book of Genesis, chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. The word tempt there means to test, to try, or to prove. It's not a solicitation to do evil. It means to test, to try, and to prove. Look over James chapter 1, verse 13. We know that God tempts no man to sin. Book of James chapter 1 should be verse 13. James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So we see the first time that the word tempted is used here, and it's to test or to prove. Now look over to Matthew 4:1. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Says, give me time to find it. Matthew 4:1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. But when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones. It just says here that he was tempted. You know, I think with tonight that the word tempt it does not mean enticed to do evil. It means to test or prove it. And Christ was never tempted to sin. You know, look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I mean, it's 2 Corinthians 5. It was to test or to prove him, or to show who he was, that he was the sinless Son of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Because he was proven there in Matthew, we see that Paul could say in 2 Corinthians 5:21, For he had made him to be sin, who knew no sin. I thank you for the day that our Savior, he knew no sin. He couldn't sin. He didn't sin. And the temptation there, it would be an enticement to do evil, but it was a testing or a proven to prove who the Lord was. So we would see that the first mention of the word is tempt. And now back to Genesis chapter 22, the second mention of a word says this. He said, Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. That's the first time that love is mentioned in the Bible. The first word is tempt. The second word here is love, and it means it's human love for another. And I think it's neat here that the first time it used is illustration of a father to a son. Look over, if you would, at Matthew 3:13. And also the first mention of love in the New Testament is here at Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Keep, keep in mind that we still have a loving father, a good son, and a substitute provided. They're still standing up front. They aren't getting tired yet. So they're up front standing straight. And then Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 13 says, Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized of him. And John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and camest thou to me? And Jesus answered, said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened to him, and the Spirit of God descended upon him, lightened like a dove. And a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Again, what we see the first mention here is the love of a father for his son. Now look over, if you would, at Mark chapter 9, I mean chapter 1. Again, Mark chapter 1. With Mark chapter 1 and verse 9. Mark 1:9, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open, the Spirit like a dove descend upon him. And there came a voice from him saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We see in Mark the love of the Father for his Son. Now look over to John chapter 3, verse 16. The love of a father once again displayed. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I'm thankful tonight that though our Father loved the Son and was well pleased with him, that God loved us too. And the Heavenly Father chose to send his Son down the earth to be a substitute for us. Just as that ram was a substitute for Isaac, and how thrilled he must have been when he looked there and he saw the substitute and he knew God's plan, and he went and got the substitute and brought over and laid there at the altar. How excited he must have been that it wasn't him there taking the knife that day. In our lives, let's don't forget how much God loves us. God the Father loves us so much that he loves the Son. He's well pleased with the Son. But in the fullness of time, God the Son was born of a woman to be our substitute. And one day on Calvary, he walked over and he lay down there at the cross. And he was nailed to the cross. He became our substitute that day. What manner of love that a man would lay down his life for his friend. God the Father loves us so very much, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. God the Son loves us so much that he left all of heaven to come to earth, to walk this sinful earth and treated ungodly. And then then no man took his life. He laid his life down for us. Tonight I want to stop and let's be thankful that God loves us and that he cares for us. And then another word mentioned over here, back in Genesis chapter 22, another first mention here, we have the word tempt, which means to test, to try, to prove. We have the word love. It's a human love for another, the Father toward his Son. And we also have the word worship. I didn't mark that verse. And Abraham went, verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Here's Abraham and Isaac going up the hill. Abraham told the guys to stay there. My son and I's going to go up and worship. That word kind of jumped out in my mind as I reread these things again, preparing for our series at Hope. Now, I look at the word worship. It means to bow down. The Father, Abraham, was going to bow down to the will of God. Isaac was going to bow down to the will of God. And all us many times we come to church and we think that we come to worship, but we come with a pride hearty heart, not intending for God to speak to us in something that we don't want to hear. True worship is this: when I prepare for church, I said, "Lord, speak to my heart tonight. Lord, work in my life. Lord, show me some things that I need in my life." And folks, in our lives, I want to stop tonight and just think, just real briefly. When I come to church, do I really come in a spirit of worship, trusting God to do what He said He's going to do? Or do I come with a proud heart, an angry heart, a bitter heart? I come to do my duty and no more. Here's Abraham and Isaac going up Mount Moriah. The word Moriah means to be seen. That's the mountain that Solomon would build his temple on, and there would be a lot of sacrifices there. It was to be seen what was going to happen. As Abraham walked up that mountain, he knew that God was going to meet him there. He didn't know how, but it's said over in Galatians and in Hebrews that he knew that God could raise his son. He went out by step of faith. Abraham, in Genesis chapter 11, we see he left Ur of the Chaldees. He had several lapses of faith. And here in chapter 22, to me, the supreme test of his faith that day. When the father sacrificed the good son. Imagine the thoughts that would have went through Abraham's mind as he went up that mountain. What might happen, but yet he acted in faith. Lapse of faith in Genesis chapter 11, here great faith. Well, what happened? Oh, along the way, God, he learned, he grew, he got stronger, and it came time for a test in his life, a trial of his life, and God brought in that point, but God had prepared him. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taken but such as coming to man, but God who's faithful will within temptation make a way of escape. Whatever trial that I'm going through, whatever heartache that I'm going through, whatever I'm facing, but God knows I can handle it, or he would not have let me be in that position. So tonight, when I stop and I think about the loving Father, the God that loves me, for God so loved the world, a great God, the creator God. When I think about God the Son, the one that loved me, the one that died for me, the one that came and became my substitute. And when trials come, temptations come, if I will stop tonight and to think about that loving Father, I will know that whatever comes my way, my Father's there. He'll take care of things. Tonight, just I'm gonna wrap up in three simple statements tonight. When I stop and think about the loving Father, the good Son, and the sacrifice that was made, how can I not follow Him and step up by faith and obey Him? First, in the area of salvation, if you're here tonight and you never accepted Christ as your Savior, folks, how can we not love a God and trust Him enough after all He's done for us to step up by faith and accept Him as our Savior? The second thing is this: knowing what all He's done, how can I not step out in faith in the area of sanctification? Just drawing closer to Him and learning more. And that's what I'm trying to make it that hope. You know, just to step out by faith. And if God says it, let's do it. You know, if God says it's wrong, let's stop it. If God says it's right, let's do it. I'm afraid that sometimes we that are older Christians, we know these truths, but we forget sometimes. And it's good to remind ourselves how good God is. When's the last time that we just stopped and praised God for who He is? In our lives, if I have a right view of God, whatever this book says, I will do. If I have a right view of God, and I read it in the book, it says that I should go be a witness. And then I'll know that God will go with me, and I'll be a witness. In our lives, let's have a right view. A right view of God will affect our, just by salvation, it will affect our by sanctification. And then, then the last thing is service. Wherever God calls me to go, whatever He has me to do, my loving Father is there. He's there with me. He would never go. He would never send me where He's not there. It says in Hebrews, He will never leave us nor forsake us. With Abraham in Genesis chapter 11, came out of the Ur of the Chaldees. He had to learn. He had to grow. He got stronger. And all along the way, the last of his faith, the Lord was there the whole time. You know, he got stronger and stronger. Let's step out by faith tonight and obey God. If there's an area of our life that God is speaking to us about, though we don't understand it, let's step out. Because God's there with us in our lives. Then when I come to church, do I come to worship, or do I come to enjoy the preaching and the singing and the fellowship of the saints? Those things are all good, but we should come to worship. We should come heads bowed, our spirits bowed, saying, God, speak to me tonight. Lord, I acknowledge I need you tonight. Lord, I have to have your help this week. Lord, this trial hurts. Lord, this burden. The other morning, I was at the table, and we was having a devotion today on prayer, and I got a phone call. I said, that's why we pray, lady. It was just out of the blue phone call, something that we didn't expect, and it's not life-threatening, but it was staggering, but it wasn't life-threatening. I was just praying, Lord, help me learn about prayer. God said, okay, you remember about prayer? Here's something to pray about. But this I know. My loving Father, He loves me. He'll walk me through from Genesis 11 to Genesis chapter 20-22. The good Son is my substitute. He's there with me all the way. Whatever He calls me to do, I will do. Tonight, if you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, I encourage you tonight, make a decision to give your life to Christ. Tonight, there's areas of your life that you know the Lord wants you to grow in and to step up in. Don't be afraid to grow. Don't be afraid to step up. Choose to step up. Maybe tonight the Lord's called you to do something. Teach a class, do a bus, anything like that. Step up. Say, God, I can't do it. But Lord, I'm going to step up in faith like Abraham did. And I want to see you blessed. Many times we miss the blessings of God upon our lives. We don't want to step up in faith. We want a security blanket. We want something secure there. Sometimes like Abraham, God would just, okay, what happens if I take your security blanket away? Abraham passed the test. He was proven faithful. Tonight, my thought was always this: what's my Isaac? What in my life do I love more than my Father? There's nothing that I would say that I love more than my Father. But when He asks me for something and I don't want to do it, that's what I love more than Him. Some of our young men, if God's calling you to preach, and you're afraid to because of pride, well, you love yourself more than you love God. No matter what we say with our lips, we love ourselves more than we love God. I encourage us tonight, let's stop and think about our loving Father, and let's be thankful for Him, and thank Him for all that He does for us. Let's think about our substitute, Jesus Christ, that came and took our place on the cross. Be thankful for Him. Let's learn that God will allow temptations in our lives to prove us, to make us stronger. Let's learn that He loves us with an everlasting love. Let's learn to worship him. Not with just song, though that's good, but let's learn to worship him by bowing our will to his. Not my will, but thy will be done. Christ on the cross. Like I said, I came to do the will of my Father. If I enter into this week when I read the crucifixion story, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Complete surrender. Complete worship of Heavenly Father. Let's surrender our lives to complete worship to our Heavenly Father.